This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech,
it's here.
Hi, and welcome to SourceTrunk episode 18. I will be giving Microsoft Office 2007 a nice little review. Hooah! Oh, man.
That nightmare again?
Man, yesterday it was Adobe Photoshop. I really need to see a doctor.
SourceTrunk. Your trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to SourceTrunk episode 18, recorded on the 22nd of March 2007. This podcast will try to show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will do this by taking random open source software and give it a little review. With this episode, I will be drinking a Korsendonk, to be more specific, an Agnes Triple, which has a very, very nice looking bottle. Very sober. You see only the Korsendonk logo and word Korsendonk on it. It's very beautiful. No paper stickers, nothing of the sort. And I'm going to try to pour it as good as I can. It's a blonde triple. Yes, last time I had a triple as well. And to my surprise, I quite liked it because normally triples doesn't really... is not really compatible with me, but I hope this beautiful blonde triple is going to be as compatible as the other one I had. Let's see. Yep, also a very full body. It also enjoys the second fermentation. It's pretty bubbly. A nice taste of herbs, good malty taste. And this one is 7.5% alcohol. Okay, let's go.
Multimedia software.
F-Spot. What I needed for my pictures was a really good, nice picture organizer. It had to be simple to use for me and also for my girlfriend who uses Linux as well. So for my girlfriend, it had to be really, really simple and really easy to use. I hope she doesn't listen to my podcast. I'm used to real good iPhoto. For people who use the macOS X software and use iPhoto, they know how powerful iPhoto can be. It's really good software. But I have to move all my pictures off my MacBook Pro because I don't have enough space on the MacBook Pro and I don't have any other Macintoshes lying around in the house, so I have to move it to my Linux distributions. And I wanted to get rid of the proprietary software to use as a picture organizer. So F-Spot really looked like a very good replacement. Now, I've got 45 gigs of pictures, about 10,000 pictures, and half of them are in the RAW format. The other half is in the JPEG format. I'm going to elaborate a bit on the RAW format because it's not that well known amongst amateur photographers or personal use. You have to know that every camera manufacturer has its own RAW format. For example, Nikon, which I use, uses the .NEF format. You have Canon, which uses the .CRW or the CR2. And Minolta, for example, uses the .MRW. Now, what is a RAW format? Well, to keep it really simple, but because it's quite complicated material, the RAW format is really the pixel data from the image sensor, completely unprocessed. And all the data from the picture is right there. Now, why would you use RAW? The most important benefits is the following. When you use a format like JPEG, you have stuff like color saturation and contrast and sharpness and white balance. All those settings are set before you take a picture. They are set by the camera, they are set by you. And the picture is processed according to these settings and then it is saved in the JPEG. Now with RAW, all those settings are saved with the data. They are saved as a little piece aside in the data, so you can post-process the image afterwards, and you can change those settings afterwards, which is very important. With a JPEG, you can't do a lot of post-processing on the raw data because everything has been processed before the picture has been put on data drive. With RAW, all those settings of your camera are saved aside in the picture, so you can post-process it. Now, the most important drawback is the fact that the file size is about 5 times larger than your average JPEG. That's why I have 45 gigs of pictures. Now, why would you use RAW as an amateur? Normally, post-processing RAW pictures is really something a good trained photographer would do. For me, I'm just an amateur, but it's not because I don't know now what to do with those RAW pictures that I shouldn't use the format for maybe later, because I can't go from JPEG to RAW because all the data has been lost, but I can go from RAW to JPEG later on. Maybe in 2 or 3 years from now, I will learn how to process RAW in a correct way, in a good way. And then it would be a shame to only have JPEGs and not being able to do anything with them. So that's it. I've been using RAW for a year now, and it's taking up a lot of space. So I needed something really good as an organizer that could process these RAW pictures very fast and could process a lot of data. That's where F-Spot comes in. From the site, F-Spot is a full-featured personal photo management application for the GNOME desktop. Now let's look at the features. First of all, F-Spot supports a lot of picture formats. You've got your JPEG, your PNG, your RAW, GIF, BMP, etc., etc. Another really nice feature is you can do imports from a drive, from a folder, for example, or directly from your camera. The first time I wanted to use F-Spot in combination with my Nikon D70, what I did, I just plugged in the D70 in my Debian Linux computer, and I mounted, as you do mostly with a flash drive, I mounted /dev/SDA1 to a mount point, and from there I would point F-Spot to that mount point and import all the pictures. And when I was finished doing that and I wanted to import it, I saw that F-Spot recognized my Nikon D70. I didn't have to do all the command line business. I could just plug in the camera, start F-Spot, and just point and click to my camera and say, okay, Nikon D70, import. So that's a really nice feature. You can, for example, in my case, import or scan complete directories. There's a difference. You can point F-Spot to directories and say, make indexes of that directory, but don't copy it to another space. Or you can have F-Spot organize your pictures and copy them to a dedicated space where they are completely organized by F-Spot. That's what I did. I showed F-Spot the mount point of my MacBook Pro, where all my pictures are mounted, all my pictures are set, and it just copied it over to my server on a dedicated photo library, which is very important. In that way, you always have a very good copy. So importing is really easy. Just point it to the right directory. You can tag your pictures. And this is also a very nice feature, because with tags, you can tag pictures with the name family. Those pictures are all tagged family. Or you can go further than that and you can create little groups according to the tags. Everything that is tagged family is in a group family. You can put groups in your groups. That means you can have family and grandparents. And in family, you can have, for example, kids or a wife or a spouse or a lover or whatever. And you can bundle all those pictures in a really neat way. This is very important if you are using your photo library for different kinds of stuff. You could be using it for work purposes, you could be using it for family purposes, you could be using it for experimental photography, and you want to put it all in one nice bin, but you want to keep it organized. Well, with F-Spot, that's not a problem at all. One really neat thing that, for example, iPhoto hasn't got is a timeline. On the top, you see a little timeline with bars. And in my case, it goes from 1999 until 2007. And it gives me little bars where I took the most pictures, in what timeline I took the most pictures, which is really neat. And in that way, you can point in the timeline and say, give me pictures around 2006 summer. And it will go directly to that period and show you all the pictures. Now, not only can you organize your pictures, you can do some fast editing on your pictures as well. You can rotate your pictures, resize, crop them, you can adjust the red eye, you can give it a brownish tint, you can have really very good color settings with just really very fast clicks on the pictures. You have versioning, which is very important. You can have different versions of a picture so that you make some changes and afterwards you can go back to the original. Or you can change something and make a new version, change and change and change until you're happy with the result. Afterwards, you can go back to versions that you didn't mess up too badly and save them as a different file, for example. There's color adjustment as well that you can do on your pictures. So you see, it's not your your normal photo organizer. You really can do quite a few astonishing things with your pictures from within F-Spot. Now, you should see it for yourself. Download the stuff. I will explain in what distributions you can use it. But first of all, you have another nice thing that I want to show or talk about. That's exporting the pictures, which is very important when you make a little collection of pictures, then you want to do something with it, then you want to give it to people. Well, you can export the pictures to a folder, for example, and that will just save the files. Or you can create a standalone web gallery. Now, a standalone web gallery is nothing more than a little folder that has HTML files in it. And when you click on the index.html, you have a little web page from within your web browser where you can browse through the pictures you have exported. And this is a really nice feature. In this way, you can, for example, export 6 pictures in a little web gallery that you compress and mail to your friends, for example. Now, I tried it with raw pictures, and that wasn't a good idea because I only got the little tiny thumbnails. So that's not implemented. There's no conversion to JPEG. So I hope that they will do that in a later stage. You can export it to CD. Now, this gave me an export error as well. So that has something to do probably with my desktop not being a complete GNOME desktop environment. Let's continue. You can export to Flickr, if you know the website Flickr. Well, you can export your pictures to it. You can export to PicassoWeb. And more interesting, you can export it to Gallery. If you know Gallery, then the combination will make your mind boggle, if that's an expression. Because Gallery is very nice to have on your own web server. You can use Gallery to invite friends over to your website and let them browse to your pictures and organize everything in nice little segments. I'm using Gallery for family and friends myself, which is a very nice software package written completely in PHP. And I will dedicate an episode on it. But now, to go back to the subject, exporting from F-Spot to Gallery should be a breeze. I'm saying should be because it didn't quite work. But the point is this. You can take a complete collection or you can take some pictures and you can just click on Export to Gallery. And then you say in which album on your gallery website those pictures should land. And that is really a really neat feature. In my case, it didn't work because I'm using Gallery 2, and apparently the remote protocol used in FSpot is only for Gallery 1, which is a bummer, but they are working on it. You can send the pictures via mail right from in FSpot, or you can print them like you expect. It's really a very nice application. Two more things. There are quite a few bugs in FSpot that I noticed, and there are quite a few bugs listed for FSpot. So when you use it for the first time, don't get discouraged. FSpot is developing very, very rapidly. They have a very big developer community, and I think they have a very good development cycle as well. So don't get discouraged. They're really working on the rough edges to get those really smooth. Another thing, it is fast. FSpot is really fast. iPhoto on a MacBook Pro Intel Core Duo is sluggish with my raw pictures. It's really sluggish. It shouldn't be sluggish. And FSpot on a really slow AMD processor, well, it's incredibly fast. It's got a really nice pace when you browse through your pictures. It's really fast. It's really good. Something else that I liked about FSpot is the way you can use it to have one photo library, one photo destination, and use it with two computers, for example. I'm using it on my Debian, which is very, let's say, crude. It's a very crude installation with not a lot of whistles and bells on it. And I have my pictures on the server via NFS, and the picture library, which is used by FSpot, is as well on my server. Now, when my girlfriend reboots my computer and starts up in Ubuntu, which she loves to use, then she can use her version of FSpot, which uses the same library and the same folder where all our pictures are, and she always gets the up-to-date pictures, and she can even add pictures to it because it's one single library. When she reboots again and I work at my computer, I can see that she has imported some pictures. What you can't do, in my opinion, is sharing one library with two computers at the same time who are reading and writing on the same library. I think that would give fireworks. Okay, the installation. There are a lot of packages for Linux distributions. I installed it from source because on Debian it gave me the version 0.2 and the latest is 0.3.5. The installation from sources is not so difficult. Every time you need something that the command configure is yelling about, then you go just do apt-cache search for the thing you need, and you do a apt-get install, and everything is installed that you need to configure it from source. But you will find all the information on the FSpot website to do so. So installation was not really difficult. Good, let's see. I talked about practical use. Yes, negative aspects and wish list. There's a lot of stuff that could be done with FSpot because I use a professional picture organizers for work, some stuff that's not even on the market for regular users. I'm talking about Quark software, I'm talking about PhotoStation, stuff like that. And they really have some features that are used in a professional environment that could be used with FSpot. They could be developing stuff that is used now, like, for example, folders where you can browse to on your left and workflows that you have on your right, so that you can choose different places where pictures are on your left and drag and drop them to places on your right, and some action folders and stuff like that. So that's something I would really like to see in FSpot to compete with the professional picture organizers. Another thing is direct exports. I can't just click on a file, click on a picture and say export this one as a JPEG or a GIF or a PNG and make it this size or that size. It's not that direct. I would really like it to be a bit more direct. But for the rest, it's beautiful software. The offer, the F-Spot project, it was started by Ettore Perazzoli and is now maintained by Larry Ewing. Now, Ettore Perazzoli made a port of X64, which is a Commodore 64 emulator for Unix, and he was a big contributor to GNOME. Nautilus and Evolution really had a lot of code from his side. And what is really astonishing is the fact that he started writing the application for managing his own digital photo albums. It was really to scratch his own itch. And on November the 8th of 2003, he published it on the GNOME CVS server with the name FSpot. Now, on December the 12th, 2003, Ettore Perazzoli died. We don't know, or it's not important how he died, but he's not with us anymore. And apparently the open source community picked up the program where you had left it and are still developing it. And that is so beautiful about open source. That's really open source in action. So thank you for a really great application, and I hope it will develop really, really well. Okay, some tips. Like I said, I had to install it from source. That was not really a problem. So watch that you really have the latest version, not the the old versions. Availability. It's available for GNU Linux and BSD. Windows users can try it out as well, because there is a live CD of Mono, which is at mono-live.org, and there FSpot is included. Now, Mono is the development environment with which FSpot is developed. It's the counterpart of the .NET and C# environment to program. It's open source. It's sponsored by Novell. I think I've just lost 20% of my Linux audience. Anyway, if you're into programming and you've done a little work in C#, check out Mono. It appears that Mono is becoming one of the leading choice for development of Linux applications. I think I'm going to check it out myself someday. Okay, latest release is 0.3.5. It was released in March 2007. You can get it at www.f-spot.org. You want to type this correctly, because a lot of websites carry almost the same name but have, let's say, different content. You can find a link on sourcestring.com, of course. The license is GNU General Public License, and you can support it in different ways. On their site, there's a little link which says Get Involved. The whole application, like I said, is written in C# with Mono. You can download Mono, you can download the source code of FSpot, you can install it, you can subscribe to their mailing list, IRC channel, and then you just have to read the coding guidelines and start to patch, develop, submit fixes, etc., etc. If you're not a coder and you want to help, then you can translate, because they have international versions and they need really good translators. You can help them out with documentations. Yes, please help them out with the documentation, because it's good, but that's all I can say about it. You can do some test patching, report problems, propose new ideas, really provide them with as much ideas as you can, and get people to use it. And that's most of the time the most important thing. Talk about open source software, talk about FSpot, and let people try it out. Okay, I got some nice listener feedback about the Spam Assassin episode with a lot of very useful info, really tips and tricks to tweak my own Spam Assassin configuration. So thank you for those listeners who provided me with some very good configurations. And I got a mail from Charlie Brownell to point to the fact that TrueCrypt 4.3 is out. It has some really nice features. If you don't know what TrueCrypt is all about, then just hop on over to some previous episodes and you'll find it. And this feature, this new version features full compatibility with the 32-bit and 64-bit Windows Vista. You've got your support for the user account control as well. So there's nothing to stop you from using TrueCrypt in your new fresh Windows Vista environment if you would like to do so. Okay, I've got a really nice mail from Scott Mortimer. I'm just going to read it. Quote, "First off, let me congratulate you on a fabulous podcast. I'm an avid open source geek and longtime podcast listener who knows a quality podcast when he hears one, and yours is great. I live in Belgium and work for NATO, where I am a sysadmin utilizing Linux and open source software on a daily basis. I'm also a huge fan of Belgian beers, and SourceRung, of course, appeals to me on a number of different levels." Now, end quote. First of all, that's really nice feedback, so I wanted to read it in the listener feedback. But I really picked this mail out because I didn't know that NATO, which is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, uses open source software on their servers. Not on all the servers, but really a segment of their servers. And this is really cool. Or to say it more professionally, this is a nice evolution. Thanks, Scott, for this really nice feedback. Okay, let's wrap it up. Leave your comments on sourcestrung.com or mail me directly via sourcestrung@gmail.com. I'm leaving you with Complacent Pretending by Cheryl B. Engelhardt. Thanks for your time and good hunting.
Pretending not to hear, pretending.